Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday night at 5 o'clock, Easter Sunday. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. We also have a membership class on our website at utahkrishnas.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class and become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. We've been discussing love the last 2 weeks, and this will be the third and final part of the love series. First part, we talked about love being a choice. It's not something that you fall into like a ditch. It's a choice that you make to love whether you feel like loving or not, because we don't obviously get up every single morning and feel like loving, so we just have to make a choice that we're going to love. And then love is an action. It's not just something that happens. Too often we use the word love as a noun, when in fact it's a verb. It's something you actively and consciously do every single day. And third, love is a skill. It's something you get better and better and better at. And lastly, love can be a pattern of behavior. We can repattern our behavior to get to the point where, without forcing ourselves, unconsciously, we learn to love not just cool people like us, but dissimilar people from us, people even who are unlovable and unloving. That was the first talk, and we called that getting our bachelor's degree in love. And then the second talk had to do with long-lasting love. We quoted Euripides, who said, real love is eternal. Now, God is eternal, we're eternal. That means we live a long time. The purpose that we're brought into existence is to allow God to love us and to love God. And so the skills of how to sustain love over a long period of time would certainly be valuable, especially in a country where 41% of first marriages end in divorce, 60% of second marriages end in divorce, and 73% of third marriages end in divorce. So we thought this would be a valuable lesson to share. And basically, in a nutshell, the secrets to lasting love, a lifetime of love, are basically to love our partners and our children in the same way that God loves us. And He loves us in four ways. He loves us with grace and with forgiveness. He cuts us slack. He doesn't hold every mistake and every bad choice we've made against us also. He also believes in us. He puts His trust in us, even though we may not always be worthy of that trust. Nevertheless, that's His mindset, to place trust in us. That's not because of who we are, but that's because of who God Himself is. And then He believes in us, and He expects the best of us. He's always hopeful. He's always forward-looking. But also, we have to keep in mind that He's been accompanying us in the heart throughout many, many, many incarnations in this material world. So He also knows the worst of what we're capable, and yet He hasn't abandoned ship. He hasn't cut us off. He's still with us. So His love, as well as expecting the best, is also a stubborn, relentless love that hangs on no matter what and never lets go. Which brings us to today's topic. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that the number one enemy of the soul is anger. And because the function of the soul is to love, we have to take it, we have to translate that to mean that the number one enemy of love is anger. And so we're going to talk today about anger and how to manage our anger. Now, anger is not always bad. Mostly it's bad, it's negative, it's something we want to avoid. But let's also preface our remarks by saying there are times when anger is appropriate. If someone were threatening your children and you didn't get angry, that wouldn't be a manifestation of love. In the Old Testament, God is pretty much angry all the time, isn't He? Terrible swift sword, grapes of wrath. Does anybody know what the last words of the Old Testament are? Lest I smite the earth with a curse. So God's not a happy camper. In fact, when I do a tour and people appear before the Krishna deity, I say, this is the same God whom you hear about in the Old Testament, but only here He's in a much better mood. But God's not angry by nature. He's loving by nature. That's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if the children are disobedient, sometimes you have to express your love through anger. Isn't it? Maybe your child is headed
at a full head-on run for the freeway.
So is that a time to say,
oh, Sonny, don't run into traffic?
Or is that a time to say, Sonny, stop! And if necessary, chase after that boy, tackle him, bring him down to the ground. And let's say, hypothetically, hits his chin, he has to go to emergency and get a couple of stitches. That's not child abuse. That's manifestation of love. And so sometimes, anger is expressed appropriately. Managed anger is not a bad thing. Aristotle said, to be angry is easy. Would anybody agree with that? But to be angry at the right time, at the right person, and for the right reason, that's very difficult. We have two examples in our great voluminous literature. There's the Mahabharata and there's the Ramayana. The Mahabharata is, I don't know, 10 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. And the Ramayana is 3 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. And in both epics, we find a good instance of a personality, a devotee of the Lord, who managed his anger nicely. And of course, in the Mahabharata, it was Arjuna who fought against the evil Duryodhana and the Kaurava army. And in the Ramayana, it was Hanuman, the great monkey servant of Lord Ram, who's sitting there at the feet of Lord Ram on the right-hand side of the altar, who jumped 800 miles across the ocean and set the city of Ravana on fire. So for those who are aggressively and threateningly pugnacious towards those who are devotees, it's proper to show anger. And it's improper to be meek and mild when someone is, say, threatening to attack the deities or deface the temple or to physically attack or harm anyone else who's engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Ramayana, I want to share this passage with you where God himself expresses anger. So God himself gets angry sometimes. And it was Ravana who had kidnapped Ram's wife in the forest, taken her to his city, and for 12 months tried to force himself on her, another man's wife. So at the last stage, when Ram and Ravana faced each other on the battlefield, this is the description. Rama sees his bow. He exhibited a terrible anger. He rebuked the demon, quote, you are proud of your strength, but it will not save you now. Prepare to receive the results of your despicable and evil acts. Vultures will soon feast on your flesh and blood. So what does all this tell us? That the kingdom of God is not an emotionless place. And who would want to go to an emotionless place and spend eternity there as an automaton? How appealing could that be? Fact is, we're sentient beings. We have emotions. And where did those come from? Janmadiyasya yataha. God is described as he from whom everything comes. So there's nothing present within us that didn't have its origin with God. And so God is a sentient being. God has emotions. Therefore, as parts and parcels of God, we have emotions. So in trying for salvation, trying for purification, trying for liberation, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Emotions are okay. They just need to be purified. That's all. Self-centered, egoistic emotions are unwanted. But emotions in connection with love of God are wanted. And love is all about emotions. I mean, love is all about emotions. And it's not just one or two emotions. In love, you know, any of you who are dating or, you know, gone through this or going to go through it, you'll discover that every single emotion comes to play in a loving relationship. Now, in a book about love, spiritual love, written 500 years ago by Rupa Goswami, called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The Nectar Devotion, there are some striking passages. Now, as I read this to you, remember, this is a description of anger in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of God, but it's an anger connected with love of God. Clamping of the lips, moving the eyebrows rapidly, breathing heavily, lowering the head, speaking strong words, trembling lips, red or yellow coloring of the eyes. And this is after liberation. There's another chapter in there called Anger from Pure Love. Now, this is Mother Yashoda. She got awarded the childhood pastimes of Krishna. In her previous life, she wanted not to know what God could do for her, but her love was of such a high caliber that she wanted to serve God. And so